Hey, thanks for taking the time to listen today. This is Greg Little from Bethany Baptist Church. Wherever you are, in whatever season of life you're in, I'm praying that the Lord will use this message to strengthen you, encourage you, and challenge you in your Christian walk. If you'd like more information about who we are or how to connect, you can visit us at bethanybc.ca. And now as we come to God's Word, let's open our hearts and minds to what the Lord has for us today.
Let's take our Bibles, if you would, with me and turn to Acts chapter 15. We're in Acts chapter 15, just the last few verses. In fact, we're going to do a little bit more of a topical message this morning. I don't do that very often, but we are going to just look at the life of John Mark this morning. You'll see why in just a second as you turn to Acts chapter 15, and we'll start reading in verse 36 and go down to the end of the chapter. So when you found it, we're in Acts chapter 15, starting in verse 36. Again, this is after the, we've just seen the Council of Jerusalem, right, where they've come to the conclusion that salvation is by grace through faith alone, that there's nothing else that you have to add to it. There's no works that you can do either before salvation or after salvation to earn the favor of God. So they've come to that conclusion. They've sent this letter out to the Gentiles that are in Galatia, in Antioch, Pisidia, a number of those places, and confirm them. And then we pick it up here in verse 36 where it says, they're back in Antioch, and it says, in some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed on to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. And so I want to, as we begin, I want to just show you a video this morning. It's about 3 minutes long. It's one of my favorite, all-time favorite Olympic videos. I've seen it a number of times. Every time I see it, I watch it again. Just because of how interesting it is. You may have seen it before, but I'm just going to show it to you. It's about 3 minutes, and then we'll get into our passage. But I want you to just see this video. Some of you have probably seen this before, but if not, here it is. Thank you.
somebody once asked me, you know, how do you become successful? And the easiest and most relevant answer is to get up just one more time than you've been knocked down. So if you're knocked down 1,000 times, get up 1,001. If you're knocked down 1,000,000 times, get up 1,001,000. When you do get knocked down and you get up as if that was the last time. And if it isn't, you get up as if this time is the last time. If it isn't, you keep on doing that. And eventually, you won't get knocked down.
How many of you seen that video before? Have you ever seen that before? Some of you have probably seen that. Of course, that little bit at the end is not necessarily a biblical frame point, but I think there is a lot of truth in there. In fact, wasn't it Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, that said, a just man falleth seven times, and then what? And then he riseth up again. That every time you fall down, every time you stumble, every time life knocks you down, that you get back up again, that moment of failure, that moment of hurt, that moment of difficulty does not define who you are as a Christian. That's not the defining moment of your life. You know, when people think about Derek Redmond, that was the Olympic runner, when they think about Derek Redmond, the guy who tore his hamstring, they don't think of him of the guy that went down. They think about him as the guy that got back up again and just kept going and finished his race. By the way, that was his father that came out of the crowd and came beside him and helped him across the finish line. He finished that in spite of pain, in spite of hurt and difficulty. He finished his race. And listen, the point is this, the key this morning to your success, the key to your success in a Christian life is just getting up and finishing well. Do you want to finish your Christian life well? The key to doing that, the key to faithfully running your race, to living your life for things that matter is just that, that you just keep on going. You just keep faithfully running your race, no matter what's happened in the past, no matter what struggles you've had, no matter what difficulties in your life, no matter what successes you've had, no matter what happens tomorrow, just get up and keep running your race and be faithful to the very end. I want to look this morning, I told you this is more of a topical message, but I want to look at the life of John Mark or Marcus. He's referred to in the Bible as John or John Mark or Marcus. Any one of those. So if I say any of those names this morning, you'll know that I'm talking about John Mark. Now, we don't know a lot about him. We have a number of places that he is mentioned in Scripture. And so there's a little bit of conjecture here in some of this morning, but he does show up periodically in Scripture. And so what I want to do this morning is just look at each place in Scripture that we see John Mark and follow his life, his journey through the New Testament. And I think we'll see an example of that. Someone who didn't give up. Someone that just kept going, regardless of past mistakes, regardless of failures, regardless of difficult circumstances. He was a guy that just kept running his race. And the reality is this, when it comes to all of us, our lives are seasonal. If I were to ask you this morning, what is your favorite season? I'm sure I would get all sorts of different answers. Probably most of you would say, I just hope summer comes soon. Right? We're still in spring. It's still been cold. I just want the heat. A lot of us love the heat. One of the things we realized when we lived in St. Lucia was it was hot all the time, and we really began to miss the seasons. Like we missed spring and fall and even, yes, a little bit winter, and then we came back and that changed again. But I like all of the seasons because they're all different in many ways and there's different things that happen. And so we like them all. But the reality is this, our life is seasonal. And what I mean by that is this, as we grow, as we mature, we all go through different seasons of life, right? We've all experienced that. You know what I'm talking about, these different experiences that you've had, these different times. Some are short, some are very short seasons, some seem like they last forever, and you just wish you could get into the next season. You know, for a time, we went through a season of having four young children in our home, five and under. That was a busy season. Many of you can attest to that, being in that kind of season. And we thought to ourselves in that season, is this season ever going to come to an end? And now here we are, graduation, a number of years later, and we're entering into a different season of our life. And we all kind of go through those seasons. And as we go through those seasons, I'm realizing myself that it takes an entire lifetime for somebody to mature. I'm still working on that. And you're still working on that, right? That it takes, God is still working on all of us. We are all under construction. God is still doing something. We're all growing and we're all learning and we're all changing. At least we ought to be, right? We're all moving forward in our Christian walk. Listen, aren't you thankful this morning that you are not who you used to be? Aren't you thankful this morning that you're not who you're going to be? God is still working in you, and he's still changing you. He's still molding you more into the image of his son. You're still in that process of becoming who you are going to be, who you're meant to be. There's seasons in our life, and I'm thankful this morning that one season doesn't define us. That God... Man, I look back at my life and I'm thankful that God didn't write me off because of one season in my life where I messed up. And I'm sure you can say the same thing this morning. There are seasons that I regret, you know, who I was and what I did. I look back and I see times that I wish I would have done something different or said something different. And the point I'm making is this: we're going to connect that with John Mark this morning, but I'm sure all of us have those seasons, have those moments in your life that you regret, that you could go back and change if you could. And the takeaway this morning is simply this: don't let one moment of failure or one moment of regret in your life define you. Don't let that wasted season be the defining moment in your life. Everything that has happened to me, everything that has happened to you in your life, the good things, the hard things, the difficulties, the successes, the failures, your life has been a series of moments or seasons that have brought you to the place where you are today, right? And God is still working in you and changing you. So John Mark, as we look at him, he's going to have all sorts of reasons to let past failures define or change his future successes. But he doesn't. And yes, he gets knocked down for a time. We just read it in this passage, just like that runner. But that wasn't the end. He got up again and he just kept moving forward and running his race. And I would say, and we'll see this morning, that if you look at the whole arc of Mark's life, if you come to the very end of his life and you look at John Mark, you look at him in that way, you look at it through spiritual glasses, you will say that Mark's life was an amazing success. That God used him in wonderful ways because he didn't let those difficult moments in his life define him and stop him from getting up and moving forward. There are many examples in the Bible of people like this, right? Peter. Peter had those moments that could have finished him. David had those moments in his life. They all had these past mistakes, and not just little ones, big mistakes, life-changing kind of mistakes and failures. And John Mark is right there with him, but they just kept running the race. And at the end of Acts 15 that we just read, it doesn't look like Mark is heading towards success, but he is. And we'll see that this morning. I want to, again, just quickly move through Mark's life this morning. And we're just going to snapshot 10 different moments in his life. These are all the times that he's mentioned. And I will say that these headings aren't original to me. I heard this from someone else, and I really enjoyed them. So I'm going to pass them on to you this morning. But we're going to make our way through. And I know I say 10 points and everybody gets really nervous because of how long I normally preach with 2 points. And now we're going to try to get through 10 this morning. But Well, we'll make our way really quickly through them. And it's not even that I want you to remember all these 10 points, like you have to remember all the points when you get home. These are just snapshots. We're going to like zoom in on Mark's life, 10 different periods of time in his life, and then we're going to put it all together kind of at the end and just see the progression on the way through it. So are you ready to go through 10 points really quickly this morning? You ready to listen fast? Because I'm going to try to preach fast as we go through, all right? 10 points. So let's start with the first one. You can turn to Mark chapter 14. We're going to spend most of our time here in Acts, but let's start in Mark chapter 14, where we find Mark as a fearful runner. And again, there's a little bit of conjecture in here, so you have to bear with me for some of that as we make our way through. But I want you to see in verse 51, Jesus has been taken, he's been arrested, he's been betrayed, and he's taken in and he's on trial. And it says in, actually this is right at the Garden of Gethsemane, he's still there. All the disciples, it says in verse 50, forsake him and they all run away. But it says in verse 51, and there followed him a certain young man having a linen cloth cast about his naked body, and the young man laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. Again, we don't know that this guy in this passage is Mark. That's not a certainty. I don't have time to share it with you this morning, but there's a lot of reasons to believe that this is Mark. A lot of the early church thought this was Mark. A lot of the early church historians said that this is Mark. There's a lot of reasons to believe that this is Mark. Most people believe that Mark is actually speaking of himself in this passage. But the point is this, if this is Mark, Mark was there during Jesus' trial. He was present when all of these things were happening to Jesus. In fact, it's right next to his house, and he was afraid. When things got hard, when things got difficult, when things started coming down around him, he just runs away. He leaves. By the way, so did all the other disciples. It says in verse 50, they all left, they all forsook, they all fled. When things started getting difficult, when life started unraveling around them, when what they expected to happen was not taking place and it got hard, they ran away, they fled, they left. He did what people often do. He avoided the situation. He got out of there. So the first time that we see Mark, things get hard, and Mark leaves. I don't want you to see the second time we see him, and that's in Acts chapter 12. You can go back to Acts chapter 12. In Acts chapter 12 and verse 12, we find him as a growing follower of Jesus. It says this in Acts 12, verse 12. We just looked at this a few weeks ago. Peter's delivered out of prison, and he comes, and it says, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of, who is it? John, whose surname was Mark. All right, so this is John Mark's house that Peter comes to, where many were gathered together praying. Thankfully, that this fleeing, this running, was not the end for Mark. The next time we see him here is about 15 years later. Now he's a member of the church in Jerusalem, and the church is going through some difficult things after a period of time of rest. And it says in verse 12 that they're meeting. Peter comes out of prison and he heads straight to Mark's house. Why? Because that's where the church was meeting. That's where the church was. That's where the believers had all gathered together, and they're there praying and encouraging each other and fellowshipping together. There's this prayer meeting that's happening. So Mark is there, and he's either engaged in this ministry, which I believe he is, or he's watching all of this happen, but it's going on right there in Mark's house. By the way, that's why it's important to have other believers in your home and missionaries in your home and other godly, faithful servants in your home, that your people, your children, can see examples of men and women that are living out their life faithfully. I can tell you example after example growing up of having missionaries or traveling teams or evangelists in our home and just getting to interact with them and see their faith lived out in person. And that's where Mark is. This prayer meeting is happening in the house, and there's Mark, and he's right in the middle of it. So he's a growing follower of Jesus. Later in that chapter, we find that he is a dreaming adventurer. So this church has been meeting in Jerusalem. This church has been meeting in Mark's house for some time. And they're just serving there. They're ministering together. Look what it says in verse 25. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So Saul and Barnabas come back to the church. And they see this young man with a lot of potential. Why did they take Mark? Why did they pick Mark? I think they picked Mark because Mark was involved in the ministry. Mark was serving. Mark was faithful. He was doing something for the Lord. And Paul and Barnabas come and they see Mark there and they see the potential in him. And they say, hey, we're heading out for gospel ministry. Why don't you come with us? They took him. And John Mark jumps at the opportunity. Maybe he feels called to this kind of ministry. Maybe he just wants to get involved. He wants to serve the Lord. And so he goes, he gets involved. Paul and Barnabas are called on this missionary journey, and John Mark wants to be a part of it. And they head to Antioch, which is where we see him next. And that's the next thought, is the next snapshot of John Mark's life is here in Antioch. And in Antioch, he's an engaged servant. He's serving the Lord in this church. And again, I know these are just quick snapshots, but that's the point. We're just zooming in and out on Mark's life. We're just kind of dipping into it at different points, different seasons. And here in Acts chapter 13, we're in Antioch. They're not there long, but they're in Antioch and they're serving the Lord. And the church recognizes the calling of God on Paul and Barnabas, and so they send them out. Again, we just looked at this a couple of weeks ago, but it says this in verse 5. So they've left, they've gone in verse 4 into Seleucia, they sail into Cyprus, and when they're at Salamis in verse 5, they preach the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. Paul and Barnabas say, hey, God's calling us out, but we don't want to go without John. We want to take John Mark with us. He's serving the Lord. So they grab him and they head out and they begin this gospel mission to the known world, to the Gentile world. So here's Mark. He starts at this place of fear and running to now being in a place where he's engaged in ministry. He's going with Paul and Barnabas into these Gentile regions. He's sharing the gospel. He's serving the Lord. Man, God has brought Mark a long way. No wonder Paul and Barnabas said, hey, we want Mark with us. We want him to come. There's something in him. God's using him. We want John Mark as part of this mission. And everything's going really well for John. Until the next one. The next snapshot where we see John is a discouraged returner. We just looked at this again a week or two ago in John chapter 13, verse 13, where it says, now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Listen, we don't really know why John left them and went back to Jerusalem. We don't know what the circumstances were in that. Of all the commentators I read, they give five or six different possible reasons for why he may have left. Some say maybe he got sick. We know that Paul got sick in Perga. He tells the Galatians that later in the book of Galatians. So maybe that's why Paul probably left the coastland and went up to Antioch Pisidia in the mountains. So we know Paul was sick. Maybe John was sick. Maybe John was discouraged from all the opposition that they were facing along the way. Maybe he didn't expect it to be that difficult. Maybe some commentators said maybe We know that John Mark is Barnabas's cousin. Maybe John got a little jealous because the place that Barnabas used to have, now Paul has. What used to be Barnabas and Saul is now Paul and company. And Saul has kind of taken that place of leadership, that position. Maybe he was jealous for Barnabas. Some say maybe John was homesick, that he wanted to go back home. Maybe the work was too hard. We don't know why John left, but we do know this, that Paul wasn't very happy about it. Paul considers him a deserter. I don't know why he left. I don't know what caused him to give up on that mission and head back home. But for some reason, for whatever reason, he didn't continue. He was discouraged. There were circumstances in his life that made him think, I can't do this anymore. I need to go back home. I don't know if you've ever been in a place like that. That's a hard place to be. Where circumstances come and things get hard and you think to yourself, I just don't know if I could do this anymore. This is not what I expected it to be. This is not what I thought it was going to be. I don't have it in me. I fought for so long. I've pressed on. I've continued. I'm still here. I'm still fighting. I'm just not sure how much I have left. I think that's where John was, and he leaves and he goes back home, a discouraged returner, which leads us to our passage this morning, that John was an unwanted deserter. An unwanted deserter. It says, and by the way, I'm not labeling him that. Scripture doesn't label him that, but that's what Paul says of him. In Acts chapter 15 and verse 37, Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark, and Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. So they're getting ready to head on their second missionary journey to visit some of these churches and establish the Christians there. And Barnabas goes to get John Mark, and Paul says, hold on, wait a second, I don't want him to come. Why? Because we needed him the first time, and he left us when there was still work to do. That we wanted him there, but he went back home. When things got hard, he deserted us. He left. And by the way, can I say this morning? Paul was right, but so was Barnabas. I think they're both right in this disagreement. They're both right in this. There's good reasons for Mark to go, and there's good reasons for Mark not to go in this ministry. And look at verse 39. The contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. There's such a sharp contention here. There's such a sharp division between them. There's a painful separation here. And so Barnabas and Mark go one way, and Paul and Silas go another way. And we never really hear from Barnabas and Mark again. We don't hear from them the rest of the book of Acts. It's all just following Paul and Silas and his missionary journeys. Listen, just think for a second about the relationship that Paul and Barnabas had before this. I mean, Barnabas was the one who took Paul and presented him and brought him in to the church that was at Jerusalem. They were wary of him. They didn't want him there. They were scared of him. And Barnabas comes beside Paul and brings him into the church and introduces them and brings them and encourages all of them. Barnabas traveled with Paul. He was by his side. Paul was stoned and left for dead. Barnabas stood by his side the whole time. And here's two godly men that have a strong disagreement over Mark, and they both have good reasons for acting and doing what they did. One said, I'm not going to take Mark, and the other one said, I'm not going to go without him. Let me make this side note just for a second. You know, sometimes good men can see things differently based on their unique calling and gifting and God-given personalities, and both of them can be accurate and both of them can be right. If you saw this through Paul's eyes, you don't want John Mark with you because he deserted you. And you need someone who's going to, you're going to the Gentile nations, you need someone that's going to stick with you the whole way. But if you see this through Barnabas' eyes, remember, who is Barnabas? He was the son of encouragement, right? Barnabas was that encourager. You don't want John Mark being thrown away and discarded. You don't want him discouraged and giving up. You want to give him a second chance. So here's two men with two different opinions, both of them right. But now listen, now twice as much is going to be done for the gospel, right? Paul and Silas are going to go one way. Barnabas and Mark are going to go another way. There's no drama here. There's just two godly men having an agreement and a disagreement and agreeing to disagree. And God used that. And friends, I wanted to just make this note that that is a healthy, mature thing to be able to do. To be able to agree to disagree agreeably. That's what they do in a godly way. As I've grown in ministry, as I've matured, I've come to realize that there are a lot of good, godly men and women that don't always agree on everything. And it doesn't mean that one's right and one's wrong. They just don't agree. They don't see eye to eye on certain things. And that's not a bad thing, but I have rarely seen people who are able to disagree agreeably. That's a much more difficult thing. Often when we disagree, we tend to vilify, right? Or slander, or malign the person on the other side, or denigrate the other side. But that's not what we see here, is it? This separation was not a competitive one. It was a cooperative one. They both agree to disagree. Paul and Barnabas handled this with great maturity, and the church could encourage both of them as they go. How rare is that ability to see people who are able to agreeably disagree? And that's what you see with them. And hey, everybody wins, right? When they disagree agreeably, the churches win, because now twice as much is being done for the gospel. Paul wins because he gets Silas to go with him. And we'll see that in just a little bit as they go out. Barnabas wins. John Mark wins because he's given another chance. He's encouraged. He goes back out again. The church wins because there's no division in the church. The gospel wins because now there's two groups that are going out. God worked in people even in spite of disagreement. So John Mark is an unwanted deserter. We'll have to go through these next ones a little quicker, but I want you to see that John Mark is a recovered minister. We won't read it again, but Acts chapter 15 in our passage, John Mark gets a second chance. Right? Barnabas wanted him, so they sail into Cyprus, and they, again, we don't hear from him the rest of the book of Acts, but church tradition, according to church history, Mark stays in Cyprus for a while and then continues on to Alexandria in Egypt, where he establishes the first church there in Egypt. And the point is this: Mark is not unwanted. He messed up once, yes, but God still has a work for him. God brought new direction into his life. He goes one way, Paul goes another way, and they're both serving. Listen, John Mark was not restricted by Paul's opinion of him. And that was huge. To Jesus, Mark was a faithful Christian that was under construction. Paul's opinion of Mark did not define who he was to Jesus. And I say to you this morning, other people's opinions of you do not define who you are. Past mistakes don't define who you are. Just like John Mark, just like me, just like every other believer in this auditorium this morning, we are all under construction. God is still working in all of us. He's still changing us. You are not who you are becoming. No, but you're also not who you used to be. God wasn't done with Mark. Mark could have given up at this point. He could have given in, said it's too much, it's too hard. But he goes with Barnabas. He goes beyond to Egypt, and God just used him because he kept faithfully running his race. The eighth snapshot. We're not playing hockey this morning. He's a beloved partner. 1 Peter 5 and verse number 13. You can turn there, 1 Peter 5. verse number 13. Let me ask you this. Who wrote Peter? Peter. Okay, that's an easy question this morning, right? So Peter wrote the book of Peter. First Peter, and he says here in the verse 13 of chapter 5, the church is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. Marcus, my son. Peter says, the church greets you, and so does Marcus, my son. Of course, that probably means that Peter was the one that led Mark to Christ. So Mark goes with Paul on his first missionary journey, then goes back. He leaves Paul. Where does he go? He goes back to Jerusalem, where Peter was ministering. So for years, Mark stays in Jerusalem and he ministers with Peter. I've read many early church leaders, I was reading some this week as I was studying, that said that during this time, Mark became Peter's right-hand man in Jerusalem. He goes back, he leaves the ministry, but he goes back to Jerusalem, he gets involved, he serves the Lord, he stands by Peter. Mark may have fallen, but he got back up again. He never leaves Christ. He kept running the race. God just moves him into a different ministry, and he keeps on going. In that video we started the service with, we saw that man come alongside Derek Redmond and help him across the line. I told you that was his dad. What a good Father's Day picture there, the dad coming along the son and encouraging him and standing with him and running the race, running that journey together. Dad, you've been called to come alongside your children and encourage them in their race. And on that, whether they're at home or they're moved out or on a different stage of life, we come alongside them and encourage them. But I picture in my mind, and there's John, and he's got Barnabas and he's got Peter with him, encouraging him and running this race beside him, both challenging him, both encouraging him and picking him up and running the race with him. Why? Because he's a beloved partner. He's a faithful servant. Marcus, my son. Notice, and I love this. These last ones are just, they're pretty amazing, these last two. But I want you to see number 9, this snapshot that I get ahead of myself in my mind, and I'm thinking what I want to say, and I say slapshot, and I mean snapshot, all right? So we'll have to edit that out of our sermons later. But here's the 9th thing, and this is so amazing, that John Mark becomes a reconciled friend. You see that in 2 Timothy. I just get so excited on some of this stuff, and I get ahead of myself. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, I am so glad that God put this verse in the Bible. It says this in verse 11. This is Paul writing near the end of his life. And he says this, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee. Why? For he is profitable to me for the ministry. Here's Paul. He's finished his missionary journeys. He's in prison. He's really just awaiting his death. At the end of his life, and Paul had reconciled with Mark. He says, listen, go get Mark. I want you to go get Mark and bring him to me. Why? Because he's profitable for me, for the ministry. He is useful. He is valuable to me. He is necessary to the ministry. I want him here. Paul recognizes, he admits that Mark has become a major tool in the work of God. He says, I want you to go get Mark and bring him to me. Somewhere between Acts chapter 15 and 2 Timothy chapter 4, Mark changed, and maybe Paul had changed a little bit, maybe a little bit of both. But what started as I don't want him by 2 Timothy chapter 4 becomes I need him here. He's profitable to me. Mark grew beyond his failure. And by the way, Paul recognized that growth. Sometimes the people that are the hardest on you are the ones that have known you since you were a child. They don't see that growth, but Paul sees this growth in Mark. He says, I want you to bring him. Let me say this to you. Be careful what bridges you burn. I've seen it happen many times. There's a disagreement. things go sideways and people go their separate ways and burn the bridges, it's all over. Sometimes, listen, if you just wait and work on yourself and pursue peace, sometimes God can reconcile and bring restoration to those relationships. I wonder how long Mark went thinking Paul hated him. I wonder how long Mark went thinking Paul has rejected me. He doesn't want anything to do with me. I wonder what point Paul reached back out and sought reconciliation. There's such a beautiful picture here that God can make broken people useful again. God specializes in taking people who have failed and fallen and wandered and even quit and making them useful for his work again. I have to hurry up. There's one more point. I've done 10 points in 45 minutes. That's pretty good. I was going to go to Colossians 4:10, Philemon verse 24. I won't go there. You can look those up. But both of those places, Paul says, greet the church from me and from Marcus, my fellow laborer. So Mark goes. Paul says, I need Mark here. Mark goes, he stays with him. And Mark says, he's my fellow laborer. He's working with me for the sake of the gospel. And there's Paul and Mark working side by side for the sake of the gospel. But let me give you this last one. It's not really a snapshot, but it is here. And that is this. Mark becomes an inspired gospel author. That's pretty cool. Right? Mark goes on to write the gospel of Mark. And he gets a lot of it from Peter. Because he stands by Peter, he works with Peter. Much of the information that Luke uses down the road comes from Mark's gospel, so it all comes full circle. Maybe it was God's design from the very beginning that Mark go back and minister with Peter and get all this information to write the gospel account. I don't know. But the point is this, there are all different seasons of life. Some were good. Some were bad, but he just kept being faithful. He never quit. He never stopped following Jesus, and God used him. Now, I don't know what season of life you're in this morning. Maybe you find yourself in one of these seasons of life. We looked at all these different snapshots. Maybe you find yourself in one of those seasons. Maybe you see yourself in a place where you're discouraged. Maybe you see yourself in a place where you're growing and laboring and serving for the gospel. I don't know, but I want to say through all of that, you can be a valued fellow laborer for the gospel. God can and God will use you if you just keep going. If you're following Jesus this morning, wherever you are in this journey, whatever snapshot you're in, if you're following Jesus, then you're on the right path. You're going the right way. And you might only see the right here, right now, but God sees the whole thing. He sees where he's taking you. He sees what he's doing in you. So don't be discouraged. Don't give up. If you just stopped at Acts chapter 15, you might think that Mark's journey was over. It was all done. But God wasn't done with him. Don't let one story, one season define your entire life. Don't let failure become your identity. Keep following Christ. Keep growing. Keep serving. Keep running your race. Just like Derek Redmond, you may fall down, but get back up again. Keep running the race. God is still writing your story, so get up and run the race.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen today. I sincerely pray that what you've heard has encouraged your heart and strengthened your walk with the Lord. If there's any way that we can serve you or pray for you, we would love to connect. You can reach us at bibcinfo@gmail.com. And if you're in Charlotte County or the surrounding area, you're always welcome to join us. We gather on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock and again at 5 o'clock in the evening for our prayer meeting and Bible study. Wherever you are, may the Lord bless you, guide you, and give you a wonderful day in His presence.